had a defenseman figure in on the scoring. They accounted for 3 goals and 11 assists. Only Dane Burks did not register a point. Have you ever had a team with such deep scoring from the blue line, and how important is it that they continue to produce?
Great question. And the way the game is played now, there's a couple reasons why you'll see the defensemen get the points. Because a lot of teams pack it in 5 guys. So they'll drop 5 guys down low in the in our offensive zone, and they'll pack it in. So it makes it a little bit more difficult to make plays, or, you know, a lot of bodies down there. So you have to kick it back to the defensemen. And a lot of times our offense is starting there. So you need guys who can make plays, who have the skill and talent to be able to make plays and see plays. And we're very fortunate. We have, I think, as deep a group in the country. I don't know. I haven't gone through the stats and looked, but I know at one point I think someone said we were either leading the country or second in the country as far as points from a defensive corps. So, Cal Larson, if you're out there, this is a good one for you. But it depends where you throw Chris Liebringer in there, too, if you put him as a defenseman as a forward. But the other thing, too, even in transition game, we've got defensemen who can are really good in the neutral zone, and we're on them all the time about trying to make good, quick plays up to our forwards. But doesn't surprise me. Our defensemen are deep, and I don't know if I've ever had a core of defensemen as good as this 6 or count Liebringer 7 guys as far as offensive production. You know, we've had guys here and there who put up big numbers, but as far as a whole group, as offensive talent capabilities, this might be the best I've ever had.
Next question. The top 4 forward point leaders on Tech, of the top, I guess is what they're saying, two of them receive zero power play time.
Yep.
Imagine what could have been or could be if they did. There's many grammatical errors here.
Sure.
Seems like they would want that you would want to showcase / reward your seniors when they are playing well.
Well, you know, I'm sure that's maybe Neville and Sturles they're referring to, but they lead our team in ice time. So if you look, we chart ice time. So we have a person that tracks every player on our team and the amount of ice time they get per game. And every game, it's usually Reed Sturles and Mike Neville lead our team, our forwards, in total ice time. So as a coach, what you're trying to do is you're trying to put the best team together. And obviously it hasn't hurt Reed's game or Mike Neville's game as far as what they're doing on the ice. And we always try to match them up against the other team's best players. So they get plenty of ice an opportunity. And also Reed and Mike are our top 2 penalty killers, and you know, they do a great job in that area, and we're one of the top 5 teams in the country in penalty killing. And there's a reason, and it's, you know, obviously we've got other guys who kill penalties and chip in, but they're the guys that we go to, and they're all like, you know, almost like other coaches on the ice now. They're so involved in it, and they've taken ownership of that. So I have no issues with what we're doing with our ice time and our players and what's going on there. So I think we do a good job of balancing that and getting everybody involved in the game.
Mark,
good question. Thanks for the question.
Mark Michaelis is the leading point getter right now for the Minnesota State Mavericks. Coach Franklin, as you mentioned, such a tough player to play against.
Yeah.
What are the biggest concerns with Minnesota State coming in?
Well, their offensive capabilities. I think that's first and foremost, is you're going to have to shut guys down. I mean, you can't let C.J. Franklin, you know, have time and space to skate and make plays. And obviously the freshman, you know, he's a freshman. I mean, he's not playing like a freshman, but, you know, the playoffs are a whole different story. So we've got to make sure we lean on him a little bit, make it tough for him to get to spaces and areas, and all their top forwards, whether it's McClure or Stepan or, you know, whoever it might be. You know, they've got some depth there too. And, you know, a kid like Parker Toomey, you don't hear about him much, but he got a couple big goals from this weekend. Good player, can skate. But they've got depth too. And the one thing is they've had more question in net. You know, they played 3 guys this year, and you know, everybody knows who our goaltender is, so which is a good thing. But it's going to be a great series, and you know, we're just going to have to make sure we play with the puck more. We force them to play in their defensive zone. You know, you're either playing in your zone or the other team's zone. We have to make sure we're playing in their zone, and make sure they have to play without the puck. They all want all top players, all gifted offensive players want to play without the puck. We just have to make sure we force them to have to play without the puck. And then we got to be disciplined. We got to stay on the ice and limit their power play opportunities. I think they've got, you know, when you have offensive talent like that, you know, obviously you're going to have a good power play, and they do.
Coach, you talked about before Saturday night's game against Northern Michigan that Northern was probably going to make some adjustments. since, I don't know, was whether it was against our power play. Did you see, or not Northern, I'm sorry, Lake State. Did you see them make any adjustments after we were successful in certain areas?
Yeah, not really. I mean, they tried to change their forecheck up a little bit, but I think in the zone, not a whole lot. I don't think they were maybe as aggressive, tried to sort of hold lanes, and that's why a guy like Gavin Gould had the opportunity to take that shot. He did. He held the puck for a long time. They didn't rotate right to him, so he had some time and to make a play there. Same with Matt Roy. You know, he had a lot of time to handle the puck and take a shot. But no, I don't think they made too many adjustments on that other than on their forecheck.
Somebody did some stat checking here. It says we are currently tied for 10th in team defense, 5th in penalty kill, and Angus is tied for 3rd with the most shutouts, which we talked about earlier. But and right. He is 3rd in goals against.
So. Right, and that's where it all starts. You know, in playoff time, we start looking at the scores and how goals are going in. I mean, you've got to be sound defensively. It's I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know any already or that's new. It's just you have to make sure that you have a good defensive posture first and foremost. And we've been preaching that all year with our team, and that's where everything starts with us. That's where our offense starts. That's where everything starts, our breakouts, everything. And transition is off our defense. And we play good defense to get the puck so we can play offense. And that's the goal. That's the message. And I like where we're at right now.
What about Chris Leibinger, coach? If you had a choice every game, would you rather have him at center or at wing? And I know it depends on who else is in the lineup.
Yeah, maybe center because he's a defenseman. I thought we played he played the wing on Friday night, and I thought he drifted down to help out a little bit too much and got a little out of position in our defensive zone. And where at center, I didn't notice that as much, because he's supposed to be down there helping the defenseman. So, but part of that, I think, is just instinct from being a defenseman. But he can play any position. I think they gave him a nickname like the Swiss Army knife or something like that. So, he's got 11 different applications or he can play 11 different positions. I don't know. But I think that's a good nickname for Chris. But he's having a good year for us.
Is the most difficult part of somebody who's not used to playing wing at this level anyway, getting that puck out of the zone when it comes around? Is that the
little bit because you're going to have some pressure? You're not used to it. How many times you practice that where you stand a guy on the wall on the wing and the puck comes to him and someone's bearing down on him and trying to make it difficult for him to get out of the zone. But we do practice it. But a guy like him, we float him back and forth in during the week, both on forward, both on defense. So he might not get as many reps as a forward, which I'm not overly concerned about. But we'll see. We'll see where we put him this week. It'll be interesting. But just a couple updates. Darcy Way is doing well. I talked to Darcy Friday night before our game, and he was good. A number of people been down there to see him. I think Jeff Johnstone and Bob Mancini and Dan Farrell and just a number, Scott Compton, a number of former players. I think that's fantastic. You can really see the hockey alumni and the family getting down. He's been in Ann Arbor, still is there, and but he's out of ICU and he's doing well. So they hope to get him home this week. So which is fantastic news. And shout out to Dumper. That was his nickname when we played here, and still is. So, and obviously Chef Mark. Happy birthday, Chef Mark.
Chef Mark's birthday.
Yeah, it's yesterday. Yesterday, oh, okay. But I think I'm going with 32 probably, Mark. So happy birthday, and thanks for all you do and your support of Michigan Tech hockey.
Coach, you just got off the phone with the ticket office. Aaron is working hard up there.
Yeah,
tickets are available.
The tickets are going, but a lot of good seats, obviously, because our season ticket holders are snatching up their seats. But because of the students being gone on spring break, there's a lot of great seats and a great opportunity to come in and maybe watch us for the last time this year at home. So get your tickets. I know our team really enjoys the support and they feed off that, and I'm going to challenge our fans. Let's see if we can get up to 3,000 people in that building this weekend. We had about 2,300 both nights, so if we could get that up to 3,000 and make that building loud and rocking and let Minnesota State know that we're here for real and for keeps, and it's going to be a long weekend.
Great weekend of hockey. Get your tickets, 487-2073, or go to buyhuskiestickets.com. Friday, Saturday, and if necessary, Sunday against a very good opponent in Minnesota State. And that is the Mel Pearson Show on this Monday. And we'll be back here again next week and hopefully talking about a couple of wins on the weekend.